I want you to take your Bible and turn to the book of Proverbs chapter 27. It'll take me just a moment to get there, thank you. It'll take me just a moment to get there. Proverbs chapter 27. I was going back and forth in my mind whether the Lord was laying this on my heart or if it was my emotions. And I believe this is the Lord's will for me to share these thoughts with you today. I'm going to give you a thought today on a summary of the storm. A summary of the storm. Going back to these deadly storms that ripped through our nation this past Wednesday night into Thursday morning. In different ways the Lord has spoken to me through it. And I trust He'll speak to you in the same way. Let's pray together and I'm going to share this thought with you again. It'll take me just a little while to get to Proverbs chapter 27 because that's actually comes out under my first point. So it'll be after the introduction. Let's pray together. Our Father, we love You. I pray that You'll help us during this time to be drawn to the cross of Jesus Christ. Help us, Lord, to run to You, not run from You. And I pray for this service that You'll help it to be a service where You're honored, You're glorified and praised and uplifted. I pray that You'll speak to our hearts, speak to me. Help me to get across what you've placed in my heart. And I pray that you'll do eternal business with our soul today. If somebody doesn't know You as Savior, may today be the glorious day where they trust You and You alone. We who are saved, would You encourage us and help us, I pray. May the will of God be done, I ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Some of the headlines read, and I quote, 2011 tornado death toll hits 237, second deadliest day from Twister in U.S. history. Obviously, some of these were prior to some of these others. In other words, every day brought out a different thing. Tornadoes death toll at 340 and rising. Death toll rises to at least 342 after tornadoes destroy south. Death toll from U.S. tornadoes rises to 350. You know, it's been said that this tornado outbreak is the second deadliest in U.S. history dating back to 1932. And tornadoes in this system were as big as a mile wide, can you imagine? And destroying everything in its path. Someone said, and I quote, the storm seemed to hone in on populated areas by hugging the interstate highways and obliterating neighborhoods and even entire towns from Tuscaloosa to Bristol, Virginia. Mayor Dan Eldredge said this, devastation, absolute devastation. Many, many homes completely destroyed, completely lost. We've got huge areas that have lost all the electrical infrastructure. We don't have water in this community right now. Another quote said this, it happened so fast I couldn't think at all. This was Tom Rose, an Illinois truck driver whose vehicle was blown off the road at I-75 north in Ringgold near the Tennessee line. Lisa Rice, owner of an S&L Tans in nearby Trenton, survived by climbing into a tanning bed with her two daughters, Stormy, age 19, and Skye, age 21. And she said, and I quote, we got in it and closed it on top of us. Skye said, we're going to die. But I said, no, just pray, just pray, just pray, just pray. Truck driver Tom Rose, this is going back to the same truck driver, was left shaking his head Thursday when recalling how the night before his tractor-trailer rode off Interstate 75 near the Tennessee line. The 58-year-old man was hauling a load of bleach and talking with his wife on his cell phone when he knew he was in deep trouble, in quotes, and hit the brakes. He said, and I quote, I told the wife, I says, I have to go. She says, why? I says, tornado. And the next thing I knew, I was rolling. One man said, other than my boy screaming to the Lord to save us, being in that car is what saved us. And I believe that's the situation where I think the garage or something like that collapsed on the car that they were in or something. Someone said these storms are so big and so powerful, there's not much you can do about it. You can't get out of the way. You know, on and on the stories go concerning this deadly storm that struck our region this past Wednesday night. And you know, there's no doubt that there are many who need our prayers at this time. There's no doubt about that. However, I want to ask every one of us a question. And that question is this: what can we learn from this deadly storm? I want to turn our attention on this question, and I want to give you a summary of the storm. And these different points, this different summary of the storm, every point is a different thought, a different summary, if you will, of what we can learn and these invaluable lessons concerning this life that is given by God. I want to give you four of them today. There are so many things we could say, and you understand that. But I just want to give you four simple thoughts on a summary of this storm. Number one, here's what we learn. Are you ready? Here it is. Number one, life is uncertain. Life is uncertain. By the way, I was talking to my Sunday school class about this. You know, we can speculate all day long about what the Lord's doing. It's not my purpose to speculate. Because I'm going to be honest with you, I don't know what all God's doing. You don't either. So don't act like you do. But what I'm saying to you is this: there's no doubt that there's some people who blaming God, and there's no doubt that somebody says, well, if God's doing this, he's cruel, he's unkind. Wait a minute. Proverbs 27:1, you're in it. What's it say? What has God already said to every human being? He says, boast not thyself of tomorrow, for thou knowest not what a day may bring forth. God never promised that life would not be full of trouble. But he did tell everybody to say this. He told everybody this: do not count on tomorrow. You don't know what's going to happen today. If I were to ask you, are you going to be alive and well this time next week? If you'd be honest with me, you'd have to say, I don't know. The fact is, we know that mentally, but do we really believe it with our heart? James 4:13-14, go to now, ye that say today or tomorrow, we will go into such a city and continue there a year and buy and sell and get gain. Whereas you know not what shall be on the morrow. For what is your life? It is even a vapor that appeareth for a little time and then vanisheth away. You know, one of the greatest lessons we can all learn during this time of horrific tragedy and summarizing this storm, we can learn just how uncertain life really is. The fact is, we just don't know how much time we have left. And the fact is, we don't know how much time our loved ones have left on this earth. Do we really believe this? I want to separate those two just a moment. First of all, under this is all under life is uncertain. Major point, life is uncertain. Number one, under this, your own life is uncertain. As a matter of fact, the Bible says, you don't need to turn to this, but in the book of Luke, chapter number 12, I want you to listen to this right here, beginning with verse 16. And he spake a parable unto them, saying, the ground of a certain rich man brought forth plentifully. And he thought within himself, saying, what shall I do, because I have no room where to bestow my fruits? And he said, this will I do, I will pull down my barns and build greater. And there will I bestow all my fruits and my goods. And I will say to my soul, soul, thou hast much goods laid up for many years. Take thine ease, eat, drink, and be merry. In other words, he's making his plans. He thinks life is going to go on as normal. But he's making them without God in mind. And verse 20 says, but God said unto him, thou fool, this night thy soul shall be required of thee. Then who shall those things be which thou hast provided? You know, the fact of the matter is this, folks. There's no doubt that the morning of this last Wednesday of these terrible storms, that those whose lives would be claimed in that storm probably did not think that was the day that they would draw their last breath on earth. Maybe that day started just like any other day, but that day was the day that their life was taken. If they were not ready to meet God, then their eternal destiny was sealed forever. My dear friend, I want to ask you a question. Are you ready to meet God? Because if you're not, you're not promised tomorrow. If you knew your life would be taken today, what decision would you make that maybe you've been putting off? Many, there might be somebody here today that says, you know, I've been doubting my salvation, or I know I'm lost, but I've been worried about what other people may think. Let me tell you something. If you really knew that you could die today, you wouldn't care what anybody thought about you, folks. The only thing you'd really want and be concerned about is knowing Jesus Christ as your Savior. You know, a sobering thought, and I'm not trying to be unkind, but a sobering thought is, I wonder those over 300 souls that left this world through that storm, if God would let them come back, I wonder what they would tell us. What would they tell you? I'll guarantee you there'd be many of them that say, whatever God wants you to do, do it now. Do it now. Your life is uncertain. Now, we don't like to think about it. I don't either. I don't like to wake up and say, well, maybe this is the day where I'm going to die, or maybe this is it. No, we don't like to think about those things. And I'm not talking about living in fear, but I'm talking about allowing these Bible truths to motivate us to do something that God wants us to do. If you knew that your name is next, if you knew that you were going to be taken out of here today, what would you do? Serious question, isn't it? 2 Corinthians 6:2, for he saith, I have heard thee in a time accepted, and in the day of salvation have I succored thee. Behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. You ever wondered why God says now? Why does God say now? Let me tell you why he says now. Because now's the only time you know you have. And tomorrow may be too late. Number one, your own life is uncertain. But number two, your loved one's life is uncertain. There's no doubt about this. Just as you don't know when your life will end, neither do you know when your loved one's life will end. I'm going to read some things to you, and some of these things might be disturbing, but I'm not trying to disturb you. I'm just trying to get you to think. There's some stories about this storm that I'm reading directly from. The last word that Debbie Blevins heard her husband say was her name, as he hollered out to warn her of the tornado that was carrying him away. She said she remembers the washing machine knocking her through the wall. Her sister-in-law said through tears as she searched through the wreckage Friday. And then she remembers that she didn't see Bob. Mr. Blevins was 59, was among those who were killed when a tornado left a path of destruction through Glade Springs about 1 a.m. Thursday morning. He was found across the road about 200 feet, and he was still clinging to both of his beloved dogs. Can you imagine? I know that's a little troubling. Please understand my motive. Please don't misinterpret what I'm doing. Harold Buchanan was still conscious when he arrived at the hospital after a tornado struck the home where he and 8 family members huddled together in a bathroom. Is everybody else okay? He asked. As the lady relayed the story Friday, while standing in the tornado-ravaged community of Ruth and Northwest Arab, Ricky Hallmark stood nearby weeping uncontrollably. Of the 9 family members in that house, 5 were killed. Among those 5, Hallmark lost both parents, a brother and a baby son. He said they were trying to hold on to each other. There's nothing left of the Frontier Road home of the Hallmarks. An EF4 tornado packing what's believed to be about 170 mile an hour winds swept through a pasture and slammed into the house. It's believed to be near the start of a fatal tornado that for 60 miles people thought it never left the ground. The force of the winds were so strong it flipped a pickup truck that landed in the yard upside down. The family never stood a chance. The casualties: Philip Hallmark, 56, his wife Ann, 54, son Shane, 37, daughter-in-law Jennifer, 31, grandson Jaden, 17 months. Surviving the tornado were Buchanan, 6-year-old Ari Hallmark, Shane and Jennifer's daughter, Jordan Putnam and Julie Hallmark, the 17-month-old twin sister of Jaden. Julie's in intensive care at a Birmingham hospital in critical condition. After 2 days of search and rescue missions in NARAB, the final count was set at 5 deaths and 14 hospitalized for injuries. Somebody said they were as good a people as you'll ever meet. They were just kind and good people. The sight of the Hallmark home was a grim, sober reality. A family Bible lay on the ground, slightly muddied. A baby's toy block set was covered by a fallen oak tree. Next to the flip pickup truck was another that was folded into an upside down V. You say, Jody, why are you reading this? I'm reading this because the fact is, folks, you don't know when somebody you love may be taken away from you. Can I give you some pastoral counsel? Stop holding a grudge and hold each other. Stop fighting and start forgiving each other. If you knew that you'd lose that person in that storm, what would you be sitting here today wishing that you'd have changed and done better? You know one of the greatest things God has done for us? Are you listening? There are people around this nation who lost loved ones, and we need to pray for them and hold them up in prayer. Can I say something to you? If you didn't lose somebody, praise God for that. At the same time, if you didn't lose somebody, learn the lesson that life is uncertain. And what I'm saying is that you can lose your life and they can lose their life at any given moment. I can't get very loud today. I don't have a lot of energy. But I think the Holy Spirit of God may have me sick today, so I'm not relying on anything else. I hope this is true even when I can. But listen, it's not going to be my preaching ability today. It's never my preaching ability. Don't ever misunderstand. It's never a person's preaching. But I'm going to tell you something. I believe God's Spirit's working here today. And I'm going to tell you something. It's time that we understand that life is uncertain. That's major thought number one. Major thought number two, possessions are unstable. Possessions are unstable. Matthew 6:19-21, lay not up for yourselves treasures upon earth, where moth and rust doth corrupt and where thieves break through and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt and where thieves do not break through and steal. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. 1 Timothy 6:17, charge them that are rich in this world that they be not high-minded, nor trust in uncertain riches, but in the living God, who giveth us richly all things to enjoy. Proverbs 23:5, wilt thou set thine eyes upon that which is not? For riches certainly make themselves wings. They fly away as an eagle toward heaven. Concord, Alabama, it was bad enough for a tornado obliterated Derek Keefe's house. Worse still was the heartbreaking scavenger hunt for his most priceless possessions that was strewn across the devastated neighborhood. There was a young lady, age 22, that was expected to graduate from the University of Alabama that weekend with a degree in sports science. Instead, she spent Thursday moving out of her ruined apartment where she rode out the storm huddled in a hallway. She said this, graduation suddenly isn't so important. She was just thankful that she and her roommate survived the night. It was the scariest thing I've ever been through, she said. We were saying our prayers as it was coming down the street. In Tuscaloosa, hundreds of people walked in a long, slow procession down the town's main four-lane drag. Some shot pictures and videos of what had been a bustling community. Others came to search the wreckage of their homes. You know, folks, in a world where people are living for things, I'm talking about they're living for money, they're living for houses, they're living for cars, they're living for valuables. We need to realize something, folks. Those things are materialistic things, and they are not eternal, they are temporal. And those things are unstable, and they can be taken away just like that. Why live for it? Don't live for things, live for Jesus Christ. 1 John 2:17, and the world passeth away, and the lust thereof. But he that doeth the will of God abideth forever. Major thought number one, summary of the storm. What are we learning? Number one, we learn that life is unstable. Excuse me, uncertain. Your life is uncertain. Their life, your loved ones' lives are uncertain. Number two, we learn that possessions are unstable. Number three, we learn that storms are universal. Storms are universal. Now, one thing we saw about this storm is how it hit everything and everybody in its path. Now, you say, what are you saying? I'm saying it didn't matter who they were. It didn't matter if they were a child of God or not. It didn't matter if they had money or not. It didn't matter if the world knew them or nobody knew them. It hit everybody in its pathway. And I'm going to tell you something. Bad things happen to all people. I don't care what the charismatics say. I don't care what somebody tries to tell you, that if you're sick, it's lack of faith on your part. I guarantee you that the Apostle Paul had more faith than any charismatic living today. Amen. And I'm telling you, it is time we understand that storms are universal. You are not exempt from a storm hitting your life. I'm not exempt either. In Mark chapter 4, verses 35 to 41, we see that a storm hit the mighty disciples on the sea. Yet we see in Job 1 and 2, this mighty man of God had a storm hit his family. I'm talking about his children were killed, his possessions were taken, his health was stripped from him. We see in 2 Corinthians 11, 24 to 28, we see that the Apostle Paul had many storms hit his life. There are some who will try to teach you that the troubles hitting your life, it's due to lack of faith on your part. Boy, I'd like to talk to those people. I'd like to take some of those people to the dying bedside of some of our precious saints who are dying of cancer. Someone, how dare you look at somebody and tell them it's lack of faith? How dare you tell them? By the way, they die just like everybody else does. And when they get sick, you're not going to hear about it. And if they are who they say they are, take them to the hospital. Take them and let them go lay their hands on somebody and heal them if they're real. By the way, there are miracles out there, but they're fake, folks. And I'm telling you, you got to be careful who you look at. You got to be careful who you listen to. They'll confuse you. And I'm telling you today that God will allow thorns to come in your side. He'll hit storms in your life, not because he's bad, but because he's trying to manifest himself to you. He's trying to show you that no matter what hits your life, he's the answer and he can take care of it. There are people who are sick and struggling. They've been hit with a financial storm. They've been hit with a trouble storm. They've been hit with a marriage storm. They've been hit with a loss storm. I'm talking about they've lost a family member. They've been hit with a heartache storm. They've been hit with sickness, whatever the case may be. And I'm simply trying to tell you that storms are universal. They hit everybody. They hit everybody. But the only difference is found in the book of Mark chapter 4. The only difference in the storm with the disciples is that Jesus Christ was on board. He was on board on that boat. Because he was on board, they made it through the storm. I'm telling you that that's all that matters in life. It doesn't matter what kind of a storm it is. All that matters is, do you have Jesus Christ on board in your life? If he's on board, you're going to make it through, folks. He's going to see you through safe to the other side. I didn't say he's going to take the storm away. He can if he wants. If he wants to, he can step up just like in Mark. He was asleep. He was asleep on the hinder part of the ship. They come to him and they said, "Master, don't you care that we perish?" He got up and he said, "Peace, be still." He turned around, he looked at him and he said, "Why are you fearful? Oh, ye of little faith." Man, I fall into that little faith. I do all the time. Man,
I want to believe God. I want to trust Him. How many times I let a storm hit my life and it rattles my boat. Instead of me just simply going to the one on board in my life and saying, will you take care of that for me? You know what He'll do? He'll either remove that storm or He'll ride it through with you, folks. He's not going to jump ship. Amen. He's not going to jump ship on you. He's going to stay on that boat with you. He's going to stay right there with you. And if He removes the storm, so be it. But if He doesn't, you've got the Son of God on board in your life, and you're going to be just fine. You're not going under, you're going up. Praise God. I'm telling you, we learned that storms are universal. Then there's a fourth thing. Man, I believe God's in this morning. Praise the Lord. Number one, I don't have much energy, but I feel pretty good. I'll be honest with you. Number one, as we're summarizing this storm, we see that life is uncertain. I know this is not homiletically correct to be sifting through my notes here, but number two, we learned that possessions are unstable. Number three, storms are universal. But number four, warnings are urgent. Warnings are urgent. You know, one of the things that the Lord spoke to me about, probably more than any other thing about this storm, He spoke to me about how the television was interrupted with the warning of the coming storm. There were meteorologists who stayed up all night long to say, look here, you see this storm coming? Now, if you're here, you need to seek shelter immediately. And I remember watching, I think it's News Channel 11, we were kind of going back and forth a little bit with Channel 5 and Channel 11. News Channel 11 was saying, we've just got an email about somebody saying, can I not chain myself down in my mobile home and be safe? And they said, absolutely not. That's not a safe place. You've got to find a certain place. You either need to find a basement or you need to find an interior home, an interior room of a solid home, not a mobile home. You understand what I'm saying? What I'm saying to you is this. The thought that the Lord showed me is that warnings are urgent, folks. I want to give you some thoughts about this. Number one under this, warning needed to be given. You know, there were those who were on the television sounding out the warning signs to the inhabitants of the imminent coming danger. Now, if you know anything about the Bible, you know where I'm going with this, don't you? They were sounding out warning signs of the imminent coming danger. While there were those who were killed, there were others who were saved because they heard the warning in time. Teacher Victoria Maddox, age 29, was asleep in Barnesville, Georgia, when a friend texted her at 12:42 a.m. Thursday, telling her the sirens were going off in town. She leapt from bed and made it to her closet just in time. Seconds later, she could feel her house shaking under battering winds. Windows popped out in the adjoining bedroom, and then the ceiling peeled off above her head. Within seconds, it was over, and the closet where she had hunkered down was the only part of the house left standing. A large tree uprooted and arched over it. Sounds like God to me, folks. As she sorted through the wreckage Thursday with the help of her parents who drove down from Knoxville, she got emotional and she said this. She said, I had called my father and I just told him I loved him and I was going to die because I didn't think I was going to make it. She said with tears welling up in her eyes. You know the sad thing? Many people didn't get to make that call. Stop the silliness, folks. If your marriage is in shambles or if you have something going on in your life and your family, can I say something to you? Can I give you some advice? Stop the silliness. See the sobering truth that your life is uncertain. Warning needed to be given. Would you agree with that? Warning needed to be given. Secondly, warning needed to be obeyed. Once the people heard the warning of coming danger and to seek shelter, they now had a choice to make. What was that choice? They will either obey and seek shelter, or they'll stay put and hope for the best. Jerry Stewart, a 63-year-old retired firefighter of suburban Birmingham, survived under his front porch with his wife, daughter, and two grandchildren. They said, and I'm quoting, they said the storm was in Tuscaloosa and it would be here in 15 minutes, and before I knew it, it was here. The only thing that saved him was getting the warning and not wasting time making the decision to obey the warning and get under the porch with his wife, his grandchildren, and whatever, and because he obeyed the warning, he's alive today. Number three, shelter was limited. What I mean by that is I remember hearing some of the meteorologists telling people to get out of their mobile homes and try to find shelter in certain places, like a basement, an interior room of a sturdy home, or some other place such like. The point is that only a limited number of places was safe during a tornado. Now, in Norman, Oklahoma, one expert says that the storms that claimed at least 280 lives in six states were the most intense supercell thunderstorms that's ever been seen. Excuse me. Despite warnings up to 24 minutes ahead of time, the tornadoes that touched down were too wide and too powerful to survive without being in reinforced rooms, storm shelters, or underground. Now listen. Now as we think about these things, that warnings are urgent, they're important, they need to be given, because without them, people don't know there's danger. They need to be obeyed. If they're not obeyed, they're taking a chance, and if that storm hits, it's death. Shelter is limited. You can't just go anywhere and be safe. There's only certain places of safety. Now, how can we apply this? Number one, God's children need to be sounding out the warning of the coming judgment of God. Can I say something to you? There is something far worse than what hit our nation on Wednesday. There is something far worse than what ripped through our nation on Wednesday. And what is far worse is the judging hand of God. I'm talking about eternal judgment. Ezekiel 3:18, when I say unto the wicked, thou shalt surely die, and thou givest him not warning. Now listen to this. He said, when I say to the wicked, you're going to die, and you don't give him warning. He's talking to his people here. Nor speakest to warn the wicked from his way to save his life. He said, that same wicked man shall die in his iniquity, but his blood I will require at thine hand. I don't know what all that means. I don't want to find out either, do you? The Bible says in the book of Ezekiel, chapter 33, now just stay with me here, folks. We're almost done. You know I'm lying to you when I say that, but at least I let you know about it. Ezekiel 33. Again, the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, son of man, speak to the children of thy people, and say unto them, when I bring the sword upon a land, if the people of the land take a man of their coast and set him for their watchman, if when he seeth the sword come upon the land, he blow the trumpet and warn the people, and whosoever heareth the sound of the trumpet and taketh not warning, if the sword come and take him away, his blood shall be upon his own head. He heard the sound of the trumpet and took not warning, his blood shall be upon him, but he that taketh warning shall deliver his soul. But if the watchman see the sword come and blow not the trumpet and the people be not warned, if the sword come and take any person from among them, he is taken away in his iniquity, but his blood will I require at the watchman's hand. So thou, O son of man, I have set thee a watchman into the house of Israel. Therefore thou shalt hear the word at my mouth and warn them from me. Let me ask you a question, Christian. Are you warning people of hell? Are you warning people of the great white throne judgment? Are you warning people that eternity is real and hell is real and the lake of fire is forever? We learn this from warnings are urgent. Give out warnings. Secondly, we can apply this by saying this. There's only one place of safety in the coming storm. Somebody says, can I chain myself to my mobile home? No, that's not good enough. Can I get in my car and hope for the best? No, that's not good enough. There are certain places. In the same way, the only way to escape the wrath of God is if you're born again. That's it. If you know Jesus Christ as your Savior, you have nothing to worry about. Somebody say amen right there. But if you don't know Him, I don't care who you are, this storm is coming. I'm talking about the judging hand of God. It's coming in your life. See, with the tornado storm, it may hit you, it may not. You understand what I'm saying? But the judging hand of God, the Bible said He's the judge of all. It's not a matter of if, it's a matter of when. He's going to judge you. And the only place of safety is Jesus Christ. John 14:6, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. This is what Jesus said. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. The Bible says in John 3:36, he that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life, but he that believeth not the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abideth on him. See, the reason He's the only way to heaven is because He's already suffered the wrath of God. He's already had that tornado, if you will, excuse me, but He's already had that tornado hit Him and torn Him to shreds, and He's already suffered death. And if you're now in Him, it'll never hit Him again. Amen. The wrath of God will never hit Jesus Christ again. Never. So if you're in Him, it'll never hit you. Maybe you heard the story about the police officer who sacrificed his life for his baby girl. Have you saw that story or heard that story? Did you raise your hand? Some of you didn't. Let me tell you about it. This police officer and his young daughter were on a camping trip in Mississippi. Were part of the terrifying band of storms devastated the South, and apparently the violent winds tore through that place and blocked the entrance so nobody could get in and somebody couldn't get out or whatever. Something tipped this dear man off, and his she was 9 years old. She was asleep beside him, her daddy. So he put his body over his little girl to protect her. Not long after he did that, a tree fell through that tent, struck the daddy in the head, and instantly killed him. But when they found him, they found the baby girl, and she wasn't harmed at all. She was safe. You say, what's the point? That's what Jesus did for you, folks. He took the brunt of the storm, and He died. So you wouldn't have to. Amen. Praise God. Now I want to ask you this question. Look, there's how much I've got left. You with me? Can you see it? There it is, right there. Now listen to me, please. Look right here. Look right here, please. Will you obey the warning and receive Christ today? Someone said, and I quote, many tell tales of having just minutes or mere seconds to make life and death decisions. These could be your last minutes or even seconds to make a decision between everlasting life or everlasting death. Make the right decision today. During a time like this, there are so many people in different parts of the U.S. who are grieving and searching for answers amongst the rubble of their possessions and loss of their loved ones. While there may not be adequate words to describe this tragedy, let us learn the valuable lessons from this storm, that life is uncertain, possessions are unstable. Storms are universal. Warnings are urgent. They need to be given. They need to be obeyed. And the place of safety is only one. May the Lord add His blessing to this message. Let's pray together. Our Father, we love You this morning. We thank You for Your goodness to us. I thank You for this time. Thank You for giving me the strength to get through it. And I pray that You'll speak to our hearts. I pray for somebody today who needs to be saved. Help them to see the danger that they're in. That they're in line of something that's far worse than these line of storms that rip through our country. They're in line to suffer the wrath of God for all eternity. Please, do an eternal work. Your heads are bowed, your eyes are closed. They're beginning to play through softly. Have you know for sure? Now listen, folks, you can lie to me, but you cannot lie to God. By the way, if you lie to me, that's crazy, because I'm not going to judge you. I'm not going to be there. God knows. Just be honest. That's all I'm asking to be. Just be honest. Have you say, Jody, I'm glad I'm saved. I don't hope I'm saved. I don't think I'm saved. I know I'm a Christian. I have trusted Christ and Christ alone. If I die today, I know I'm going to heaven. No doubt in my mind. I'm a born-again child of God. Raise your hand in the air with mine, please. If you cannot say that, just be honest. That's all I want you to be, is be honest. Thank you. Put your hands down. Some of you couldn't raise your hand. Can I say something to you? Thank you for being honest. Thank you for being honest. Let me do it this way. If you're there in your seat right now and you say, Jody, I couldn't raise my hand to that. I know the devil's trying to work on you. Oh, what's he going to think? Or what's she going to think? Or what's that family going to think? Can I say something lovingly? Who cares what anybody thinks? The only thing that matters is what has God said. And folks, one of these days, all those people that you may be worried about what they think, they're not going to be there standing with you when you're looking at God and He's judging you. And by the way, if those people are any kind of a Christian at all, they're not going to think bad of you. They're going to rejoice with you. Can I get an amen there, please? If you do not know the Lord as your Savior, you have a doubt in your mind about that. You didn't raise your hand a minute ago, in other words. Would you do me a favor? Would you lift your eyes and look right up here at me? Would you do that? Now I see you. I'm not going to call you out, okay? I'm not going to do that, I promise. You trust me, right? I'm not going to call you. I promise you I'm not going to call you out. Elsewhere in the auditorium, if you're looking at me right now because you're not sure of heaven, I'm not going to call you out, but I do want to talk to you just a minute. Now you know if you're looking at me or not in the balcony down below. If you are looking at me right now because you do not know the Lord as your Savior, or you're just doubting it, I want to ask you this question. And I already know the answer. You know those who are sitting beside you, right? You know them. I want you to do me a favor. I'd like you to poke somebody, whoever you want. Okay? Good. You can poke somebody else if you want. That's up to you. Just a moment, we're going to have an invitation, and they're going to come with you. You know what that does? I know you're nervous, but what that does, it makes it just a little bit easier on you to come. So in just a moment, I want you to come with her, okay? We'll do this in just a moment. And I want you who may be looking at me right now, whenever we extend the invitation, I want you to leave your place. I want you to come to this altar. We'll take a lady with a lady, a man with a man, and we're going to share with you how you can know the Lord as your Savior. You say, Jody, why should I come? Because there's a judgment day with God in your future. And you're not promised tomorrow. Your life is uncertain. You don't know if today could be the day when you stand before God. You could be next. Do not put it off. It's up to you. It's up to you. It's up to you. There may be somebody who's been saved recently. You need to come make it public. I encourage you to come first because that helps others to come. Let me just start the invitation right there. Would you mind? Let's all stand together, please. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. Father, help people to respond. May thy will be done. May people be saved. Lives be changed. Those who've made professions, make it public. Those who need to be saved, come. Thy will be done in Jesus' name. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. Brother Gary's singing. Please, I need altar workers, especially ladies at this time. I need you to come and be ready for this. Let's sing together, please. Amen. Wonderful. Amen. Look this way if you don't mind. We're dealing with folks about their eternal destiny. You don't mind that, do you? Have you happy about that? Say a big amen. Good. I want to ask this to the Christians. When you look at what the meteorologists did last Wednesday night into Thursday morning, how serious they took their job, how serious they were about warning, sending it out, making sure that you understood what was coming. How urgent are you compared to them? You understand my question? How urgent are you in trying to get the gospel out and sounding warnings out, telling people that there's a judging hand of God coming someday? Maybe God's dealing with you about saying, Jody, I want to be a better warner. I want to sound the warning out, and I want to start this week. Maybe God's speaking to you about that. Have you know somebody lost? Would you raise your hand? Have you know somebody like that? I realize that many of you have probably been warning some of those people, but there's no doubt that I'm speaking to somebody. You raise your hand about somebody that you've never shared the gospel with, not one time. Can I say something to you? If they die lost and you never tried, they are still lost, but their blood will be on your hands. That's serious, folks. Maybe God's speaking to you. As Brother Gary sings the next verse, if God is speaking to you, leave your place and come. As he sings, would you come? Come on now. Way, Lord, on way, absolute sway. Living in me. They're playing through softly. This is Emily Vickers. Emily, you're coming today. You're in third grade, right? Third grade? Good. You're coming today and you are accepting Jesus Christ as your Savior. Is that right? You've trusted Christ today. We're so happy for you. You know what that means? That means you're going to heaven someday. That's a wonderful thing, isn't it? We're so glad. We're proud of you. God bless you. Wonderful. Praise the Lord for that. Good. 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 Amen. This is Rachel Snodgrass. Rachel, if you want to stand, your mother can stand there with you. Rachel called me earlier this week, and I called her back. Rachel's one of our fine, fine ladies. Her family's okay, too. I'm just kidding. God bless them. Rachel said she has pretty much known for a long time now that she had never truly been born again. And during the revival, God was speaking to her and convicting her. And she has recently, in your home, I guess, correct? She has received Jesus Christ as her Savior. And you know now, without a doubt, that heaven is your home. Am I right? She told me on the phone that she knows now for the first time that she's truly born again. That's what it's all about, isn't it? We're so happy for you. Proud of you. No doubt about that. And you've been singing so well as a non-convert. Can you imagine what's going to happen now, you know? Have you happy for us? Say a big amen. No doubt about it. There's other things happening. I'll speak to you folks here in just a moment. And I'm sure some eternal business was taken care of there, I hope. Wonderful. Are you glad you came today? Say a big amen if you are. Good. I hope you'll be back tonight. Service at 6:30. Pre-service prayer meeting at 6. I encourage the deacons. We have a meeting tomorrow night, 7 o'clock. You be right in your place if you can. Let me remind you about the sign-up for the breakfast for the teen mission trip. That sign-up is available out there. If you're a visitor, take your card out to the lobby, to the welcome center. That'll be a good thing, okay? Let's bow for a word of prayer. Father, help us now. May the will of God be done. Touch and bless in a mighty way in Jesus' name. Amen. I'll be up here at front. If you need to see me, I'm going to be staying up here at the front, okay?